Okay, we're up to halacha, we're up to page Nun Gimel, halacha Dalet. We are middle discussing the topic of Zecher Tzadik Levrachitz. Really, this one's parsha. Noyach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hoya B'Deroysov. Rashi says, once we mention Noyach, we mention the Tzadik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We mentioned Noyach, so let's mention that he was a Tzadik, he was Tamim B'Deroysov. And here, the Sefer Chassidim teaches us that the true translation of the word Zecher Tzadik Levracha means, the true translation of Zecher Tzadik Levracha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzadik. And every time we mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, we should give him praise. And we gave different examples yesterday, I ran out of copies, so I ran out of Nun Beis and Nun Gimel. I apologize, I just did this. We'll get to this in a moment. Otherwise, I'll just say it outside. Okay, so we discussed yesterday, we have an obligation, the person has an obligation. Every time Hashem's name is mentioned, he should give praise. And we give different examples, so that's why we say when we daven, when someone makes a baruch to Hashem, it is our custom to respond immediately, baruch hu uvaruch shemai. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the term HaKadosh. Once we say he's a Kadosh, we say immediately, Baruch Hu. When a person makes a bracha, Chas V'Shalom Levatola, Hashem's name has been said in vain, what do? We say immediately, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. Three examples, already three different examples of when Hashem's name has been mentioned, and by extension, you can also say that when you answer Amen. When you answer Amen, when a person says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Sha'akol Li'e Bidvaroi, so we answer, Amen. Kel Melech Nemon. Is that also a fulfillment of Zecher Tzadik Levracha? I don't know, maybe not. Maybe that's a little different. What you're doing with reciting Amen, but at least the other examples are ironclad. Baruch Hu Ruch Shemoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem, Kvod Malchus, Li'olam Vo'ed, three very good illustrations of this principle of Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We also know we apply it to human beings. We, especially today, we use it in reference to a person who has passed, who has left this world. We say Menuchasei Kavod. We say Zichrono Levracha L'Chai Ha'Olam Haba. We say about the living, someone who is known to be a tzaddik in this world. We say also, we give them titles and we wish them brachos. Sheyichye LeYamim Tovim Aruchim. Is that not a bracha? That's the ultimate bracha. When you say about a person Shlita, Shlita is an acronym. Sheyichye LeYamim Tovim Aruchim. May he live long, good days. That's a blessing. So you mention a tzaddik, the amech kulam tzaddikim. When you give a person a title, you right away give him a bracha. Or you say, Hashem yishmireyu v'yintzireyu. Hashem should guard him. Or other different expressions. All of this is included in the general idea of zecher tzaddik levracha. And we gave a mashal, just like if a person's child is in a distant land, is far away, and a father, a parent, has longs to be reunited with his child, every time his child's name is mentioned, he gives a bracha. May Hashem guard him, may Hashem protect him, may he be good and well, just like we can appreciate this in regard to a human being, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more so is it proper to give blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is eternal. Now he gives an example over here, and then we also mention that a person is nichshal in this halacha, and he says Hashem's name in vain. I guess that would mean swearing. People today, unfortunately, among the Goyim, their standards are very, very low, and they swear. Swearing basically means Hashem is a joke to you. When you swear in Hashem's name. And if you swear falsely, you're basically saying, in essence, you're saying is that Hashem's name has no value to me. I just throw it around whatever you want to throw around, whatever it is, a softball, it's nothing, a basketball, you just throw Hashem's name around like nothing. So such a person should be menudeh, should be excommunicated. No one should have anything to do with such a person, and those people who have the power to put him in nidui and refrain from doing so, they should be put in nidui, because it is a very great disgrace for Hashem's name. Now, he goes a little bit further. Ma'aseh b'chasadecha shayyeh halacha dal, page Nun Gimel, halacha dal. Ma'aseh b'chasadecha shayyeh 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 shayyeh. He was in a wedding hall. V'shama echamen ha-meshoyrin. And there was a person, a singer, b'mecholos, and there was a hired singer. And what was he doing? Ha-yamazkir es Hashem b'shiroi. And he said Hashem's name in his song. There was some type of poetry, and he said Hashem's name. Os ha-yoyos ha-chosid minadehu al kol pam b'pam. Every time he mentioned Hashem's name in vain, part of this melody, a song of entertainment, the chosid excommunicated this person. V'gam, period. And it's an illustration that you should not say Hashem's name in vain. I will discuss this again in one moment. And then he says one other concept, prove to you how da chomor, the inyan of saying Hashem's name is, even the angels, the shadim, even shadim, which shadim we normally associate with forces of evil, they are sources of evil, demons, v'gam shadim enam maskirim shem shamayim levatol. Even shadim, whose essence is evil, even they have a sensitivity not to say Hashem's name in vain. How much more so we, a human being who is not evil by nature, should be sensitive not to say Hashem's name in vain. As it says in the Gemara, there was an incident where a person met was it a malach or was it a demon? Was it a good friend or foe? And this creature, heavenly creature, said, Baruch Hashem. He said, Ani ba b'shem Hashem. So we have a tradition that a shade does not say Hashem's name. And the fact that it was that Hashem's name was said, it had to then be that it was a malach. Because a shade who is in essence tame, a source of harm and evil, even a shade is sensitive not to mentioning Hashem's name. Okay, so when it says here in this thing that there was a singer, it means he was singing a melody, like a secular song. It doesn't mean he's saying sing halal for the Omer. It doesn't mean
just regular songs.
No. So regular song, the custom is you don't say Hashem's name. You don't say Hashem's. You don't say Yudkei Vavkei. Maybe you say Hashem, but you don't say Yudkei Vavkei. But you don't say that. The obviously, from the context, it means here that there was some entertainment. There was some type of event, and there was entertainment. And as part of the entertainment, this person had composed a song with a melody, and he said the Yudkei Vavkei multiple times outside the framework of tefillah, outside the framework of a bracha, and it's not proper. And the chos that was there made an effort to tell this person that what you're doing is very, very wrong. You're not allowed to be mevazeh the Shem Hashem.
Okay.
Anything, say certainly anything, any reference to Hashem, even to say God, even that's also not proper thing. There are many people that are very makbid not to say G-O-D. Because G-O-D is the translation. Oh, so you're asking a very good question. You're asking a question of the national anthem. Okay, or the national anthem says God bless America. Okay, in the national anthem, does it say God? Does it say God in the national anthem?
No.
Oh, say, can you see? You want to go the whole thing over here?
No.
It doesn't say. Okay, but they do sing God bless America.
Only in the second part.
Right.
Is that sung, typically, the second part?
No, most people don't know it.
They don't know. Neither do I. Okay.
It's a much longer song.
Okay, you make a very good point. You're saying something very, very interesting. God bless America. In some public gatherings, they, in addition to singing the national anthem, they also sing God bless America. So the question, it's a very good question, is it, they're not asking us what to do, obviously. But let us say, you know, there are many people, used to be, not so much anymore, I don't know why, but it used to be that in Jewish events, they would sing the national anthem, the national anthem. And I would guess that sometimes, and I would assume that there would be a desire in some settings to sing God Bless America. Correct? If you're going to sing them, if you're in an event where you're going to sing, let's say a graduation, we're not talking about a graduation over here in Flatbush. Okay, let's say you go out of New York City and you go to a high school, a fine, high school with fine Jewish boys, and it is the custom to sing the national anthem before they begin the graduation. And one year, someone there in the audience, someone in the administration, it's not enough to sing just the national anthem. Let us also sing God Bless America. So it's a very... Now, I would think if you didn't... Until you mentioned this, I would think, who cares? Why not? What's the problem? But you see from the Sefer Hasidim, it's not so simple. He talks about this event. There was a entertainment, and there was a mishayrim by a wedding, by some wedding entertainment, and they said Hashem's name, and there was a chassid that felt that it's not proper respect to say Hashem's name in this fashion, and he put him in Shamta. But that's a tefillah. No question, and it's permitted a hundred l'chatchila, even to say Yudkei Vavkei.
That,
what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There are many things. There are many. It does not matter. That's an old shiloh. When he says the Yirat signs, that anything that is said, but there are even a bracha, your own private bracha. You make up your own words. You want to give bracha, may Iker, then you can say Hashem's name. You want to give bracha to your children, and you want to speak in English, you want to speak in Hebrew, you want to say, may Yudke Vavke bless you, it is permitted. You want to be Mispal to Hashem, say Yerotzeim Lofanach, you make up your own Nusach, and you want to say Hashem Elokeinu, we have a say, and you want to say Mamish Yudke Vavke, it is permitted. That is no question. So even though the Medina, the Tzfilah, L'shloim HaMedina, and for the Chayolei HaTzava is not something that was made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. There is no issue whatsoever in saying Yud Kei Vavkei. In the Tefillah Lashon HaMedina, it doesn't say Yud Kei Vavkei. It doesn't say it. There's no Yud Kei Vavkei. There's no even Hashem. Avinu Shem HaShemayim. They're very careful not to get into this conflict. However, but when they make a Mishaberach for the Chayolei Tzava HaGanah, for the soldiers, there's a Yehi Rotsan. And there's a Yehi Rotsan L'Ofanach Hashem Elokeinu. They do say Yud Kei Vavkei. And interesting, the Shul Ha'ayis Davenin is that, take a step back, in the young Israel, they used to do both of them together before Musaf, after landing was over, and they would say the tefillah for the Shlom HaMedina, which was Avinu Sheba Shamayim, and then when they would say the Nusach for the Tzahal, it was a Yehi Rotzayin, which had Hashem's name. It does. Oh, the Pesukim is not a Kash. A Pesuk is never a Kash. But if you want to go actually say Yehi Rotzayin, and I believe it does say, fine, I never thought much of it. And then, years later, I dived in a different minyan, and the minyan there was, they made the Mishrech for the Shlom HaMedina before Musaf, but for the Tzahal, they said in the middle of laning. In the middle of laning after an Aliyah. And I wonder, why? Why are you breaking the two up? But now it makes sense because there you're saying Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke. And just like they made the other Mishra for the Cholim and for other events, and the Nusach was Hashem, so it seems that's when it was composed, it was a different tkufa. It was
don't say Hashem by Mishra.
For the Tzahal, they do. Look at the RCA
no,
article.
The Cholim,
what?
Art?
No, we do. We do say. For the Cholim, you do say. You do say. You have to look at the Nuschois. If I'm not mistaken, I think you do say. I don't remember exactly. Okay, but the truth is, I remember once looking into this. I looked into this once. There's no doubt about it. When you say a tefillah, you misspell even in your own words. It is mutar l'chatchila to use Hashem's name. We don't do this because we're not fluent in composing our own
Nuschos. Is God Bless America a prayer?
Oh, so that's the whole question. Now you've opened up a whole new... Sefer HaChassidim has opened up a whole new topic of discussion to sing this song, God Bless America. Good question. What exactly... It has to be looked into. What exactly are you doing? Maybe it's a prayer. If it's a prayer, so that's right. There's nothing wrong with
this
it.
This summer I saw online in Fenway Park in Boston, a Hasidic guy, seven
women,
they sing
God Bless America.
God Bless America.
It's very, very common for front people to sing the national anthem at baseball games, public events. That is Meissen. Almost the whole year. Not the Turk character. Don't mention the Turk character. Listen, we always find the Meshugayim. Don't mention the Turk character. Let's talk mainstream. I'm not. Don't.
After 9/11, he started singing it.
Okay. But it's very common. You see a health guy. I saw videos of health guys singing by baseball games. You see all over. Every other day, there's another video circulating of some Hasidic fellow with a beautiful voice at some major event, whether it's a baseball game, whether it's a national convention of the Republicans or the Democrats, and they're singing and they're making a Kiddush Hashem. Beautiful, beautiful. But the national anthem doesn't have Hashem's name. Doesn't have G-O-D. You're saying very good.
They sing God Bless America.
Oh, so God Bless America is only recently has been promoted because of patriotism, because of terrorism, all of the things that are going on in this world has become an addendum. But that does have Hashem's name. Does that fit into the category of what it says here in the Sefer Chassidim, not to say Hashem's name in vain? I would assume not, like you just mentioned, because it's not being said, it's Adrab, it's being said derech kovod as a tefillah. Correct? It's not being said as entertainment, it's derech kavod. On the other hand, there's another whole question, exactly what status does G-O-D have? Does it have Kedusha? Does it not have Kedusha? The people that are dressed in the baseball game are not necessarily in the state of dress that it might be appropriate. On the other hand, if you go to a convention, a political convention, then they are more or less derech kavod. What? I think there's a very big difference between the baseball game, and a political convention.
What?
So you really brought up something very, very interesting. I would never think of if not for this Sefer Chassidim. Yeah?
What Kedusha does it have when you take an oath?
When you take an oath. Very good question. It seems that it does have. It does have. That's why many people will not say, I swear, I solemnly swear, I affirm. I affirm.
The end, so help you.
So help me God. So that's not a tefillah. That's not a tefillah. So help me God. God should help me. That's a tefillah. That's mamash a tefillah. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with saying, so help me God. There's nothing wrong with mamash a tefillah. What? No, definitely not. No, absolutely not. I said 10 times. Absolutely not. Whenever you use Hashem's name as part of a tefillah, it is not a violation whatsoever, even Yudke Vavke. What? An oath. Take an oath. We don't take oaths. Even a Shuas Enes you're not supposed to take.
Right.
The difference between being Mavakesh a tefillah and taking an oath. If you put your hand on the Bible and you say, I solemnly swear so and so, that's a pretty serious thing. You're holding in your hand the Bible. That's serious. The Old Testament, this is serious business. And Chazal say, under no condition should a person take even a Shavuas Emes, even an oath that you are 100% convinced that what I am saying is true. It's not a good idea to take a Shavuas Emes. So it's serious business to come into court and to put your head on the Bible and to say, solemnly swear. And that is why why you have to find out all the details when they.
I affirm,
and you have to make sure that you work it over with whoever you're dealing with beforehand, that it should not be a chil Hashem and everything should go smooth. There should not be any surprises because not everyone knows all the rules.
Yeah.
And you start making up your own language, and the judge himself doesn't know.
No.
That there's a difference between that you're. I affirm and I swear.
When I was on grand jury, I saw a few cases where from people testified as witnesses. And they have a text.
Yes.
You know, the foreman reads the text and then it's repeated.
Yes.
So they caution the person who's reading it that use this text,
not the other one.
Yeah.
The one that says it's very important.
Optical text.
Well, I went to jury duty. I don't know what happened, but I went to jury duty. I was there the whole day, one day. Not like Michal was there for 4 weeks. And they took us in. They took 20 of us into the impaneling room. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of money was involved. MTA, someone sued the MTA. And the MTA and the MTA lawyer, he had an agenda. It was very clear. And he took 10. He divided up the 20 to 10, 10 and 10. And I was from the 10 in the back. It never got to us. And the first 10, the entire day, there were many, many hours. They drilled them with a billion questions. I was shocked. Some of the questions were very personal questions. Very personal questions. And they were going really, really hard at them. And finally, when the day was over, 4 o'clock, okay, not old. 4 o'clock, they come, they go out for food, and they come back and say, okay, from the 10 people in the front that we've questioned the whole day, we've selected only two. Two of you, the other eight, you're out. And the guys back in the 10, like me, they're in the 10, goodbye, you don't have to come back tomorrow. In the olden days, it used to be, we would have to come back the next day, and they would drill us, but there's a new law now. They were out. But those two, he said, we will immediately swear you in. He said, immediately, you are to go to this desk, to this office, to swear you in as a juror. Like, the way he said it, like, oh, like you're not going nowhere yet.
The fact that he questioned all day long, and they're not under the rules.
No, not that. But I'm saying, at the end, he said, we're going to swear you in. So what do they do? I don't know what they do. They go to this room, and they have to swear?
No, affirmation.
So I guess there are different nuschois. There are different languages they use to be sworn in. So you have to be very careful. Anytime you use Hashem's name as a tefillah, it's mutter. God bless America, is it entertainment or is it a solemn moment? If you don't behave yourself by the national anthem, if you kneel, okay, quiet it down, right? That quiet it down in the news, kneeling during the national anthem. So, you know, it's the nation takes note.
That's a shame.
It takes note. So the national anthem is serious. Is God Bless America viewed to be a solemn moment of prayer for the nation? Or is it nothing more than entertainment? If you will tell me that you go to an event and the singing of God Bless America is nothing more than just entertainment, then maybe you should think twice if you're a Hasidic master and has the ability to wow your audience by singing God Bless America, it may be forbidden. And it may be even forbidden to participate, to attend, because Hashem's name is being said Lashav. But if this is not a entertainment, it is viewed, it depends where, it all depends where, the setting. If it's viewed as a solemn moment, similar to the national anthem, where we are praying for the nation, then there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. I'm not so sure that in every single setting is God Bless America a prayer. Sometimes when they sing God Bless America, it's just entertainment. It's entertainment.
Sometimes.
Oh, so you have to ask yourself
sometimes
that question.
It depends on who is singing.
Who is singing, when they're singing it.
The person, I'm sure he took it personally as an affirmation of patriotism.
It all depends. You cannot generalize in these matters. It all depends on the situation. When the president comes and they sing, what's the song they sing? Hail to the Chief. That's entertainment. That's not a solemn moment of prayer. This is not Hashem's name doesn't appear there anyway.
It's a kibbutz.
But it's entertainment, it's kibbutz. So let us say that God's name we mention in Hail to the Chief. Let's make believe that the Nusach, whoever composed the Nusach, make believe, argument's sake, that G-O-D would be part of the text. Now I ask you, is that considered prayer? Is that entertainment? If are you allowed to participate? Now, by the way, you have to also know, when we're learning Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi said, there's another thing, Sefer Hasidim is not necessarily halacha. It's not halacha. Most of the things in Sefer Hasidim is a higher standard. Chumras. So you have to know where to draw the line. What is halacha? What's not halacha? There are so many variables. Is it tefillah? Is it entertainment? Is G-O-D Hashem's name or it's choil, it's mundane? Are the way people dressed, is that a factor? Even if it's Kodesh, is it a factor in regard to G-O-D, in regard to how they're dressed? What are the standards? And is what it says, Sefer Hasidim, so strict that we should pay attention, should the average person pay attention to this? Maybe you can go, but you should not be the one to sing it. There are like 10 variables. 10 variables in this issue, how do you deal with the Shaila? Okay, now the next thing I want to discuss, Rabbi Yisrael, he's discussing this and they touch upon this, and that is singing. He mentions here not to sing Hashem's name. And this is something very interesting. Today, Rabbi Yisrael, please, it used to be years ago when I was a child, I never ever heard them sing the Kaddish. He's got at the end of davening. I don't know, maybe I just davened in the wrong places. Maybe I davened in the wrong places. In the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe my monastery gave with me. What? They never sang the Kaddish. Yiskadal v'yiskadash shnei rabo. Whoever sang Yiskadal v'yiskadash, whoever sang Tiskabel. From time immemorial, go back 50 years ago. Even 50 years ago?
Yes.
As a child, even in the Young Israel, and I grew up in the Young Israel, I don't remember them singing Yiskadal v'Yiskadash. I really don't. And in Chaim Berlin and in the yeshivas, never, ever, ever would they sing. Rabbi Issa, can we have some decorum, please? I don't remember even in yeshiva. I never remember them singing. Today in the yeshiva, if you don't sing the Kaddish when the davening is over, you're fired. In the Young Israel, don't even walk into the shul if you don't have a niggun prepared to sing the Kaddish. Things have changed. So here in the footnotes, they argue is that when you sing Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shnei Rabbah, the whole Kaddish is all about Hashem's name. We're not talking about Anim Zemiros. We're not discussing a melody of a Karev Pizureim Mibein HaGoyim. We're not talking about Kedusha. We're talking about Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shnei Rabbah. May Hashem's name be elevated. May it be praised. May it be expanded. All the various deep translations. But it's the whole Kaddish is all about one thing. It all focuses on elevating and praising Hashem's name.
It doesn't mention
it. Yiska Shnei Rabbah. Okay, you have a good point. It doesn't say Hashem's name, Mamish, but the focus is Hashem's name. So, therefore, in the footnotes, I don't remember which footnote I saw, I have different from that I prepare from, they mention, wait a minute, over here the Sefer Chassidim talks about a story where there was a chassid who went to a wedding and there was entertainment, and part of the entertainment, on this from this page over here, which footnote is it?
Dalit.
Ayin Turizov, or Chaim Simon Tovkov Samach, Sifkon Hei, She'ekos, Abahari B'koimus Tohagim L'Sharer Kaddish. Dahainu Yiskadal v'zevadei Chet Godol. Okay? Chet Godol. Why? Look at the story. Look at the story. Hashem's name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is someone you revere. You're afraid of. It's not the time to have a little jingle when you say Hashem's name. That's not respectful. Therefore, what is going on? What is going on now? So he mentions it's a chet gadol. Uvechikri halacha he'arti al das ha pur nugruf. I don't know what this means.
Phonograph.
Phonograph. Shemenagvim boi dvarim shebekedusha v'askar shemos I hashemim nilkadim be'es Hashem elokecha tira. Are you in violation of the prohibition of fearing Hashem? Ayin sefer mitzvah is l'harama. I don't know what it stands for, but Yuin b'Reshaba, he goes on and on. Obviously, halacha l'maisa, we're very makel b'zman hazeh. We do ma'isa m'chol yom p'chazir ma'advar, but look what it says in Sefer Chassidim, and look what it says in the early Kadmonim. It's definitely a different approach. It's a different approach to serving Hashem. Someone's pointed out to be different nuschois of the yamim noiroim. There are certain popular nuschois, and they've been adapted. Now, there's the very popular Chevroin Nusach. Those that are familiar with Nusach, there's a Nusach that comes from Yeshivas Chevroin, going back 100, whatever it was, since the founding of Chevroin. Where they get the Nusach came from, I do not know. And today, in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a Nusach, and it's been adapted. But the basic motif of the Nusach is there, and many Kehilos, they use that Nusach. Then there's a Nusach they call the Tarvidas Nusach. I don't know what that means exactly, but that Nusach in Lakewood, all of the Kehilos, all of the Batei Midrashim in Lakewood, they use the Nusach, what's called the Tarvidas Nusach. Whatever it is. It's a certain Nusach. And then there is a Lubavitcher Nusach. Chaim Berlin, they use the Lubavitcher Nusach. A good chunk of the Nusach in Chaim Berlin is the Lubavitcher Nusach. Okay, that's how it is. Okay? They know it. The Avoida, there's only two places in the world, Hayoim, that do the Avoida exactly the same, to the note, to the dot, and that is Chabad and Chaim Berlin. Okay, exactly to the dot. There's probably nowhere else in the whole world that do the avoid exactly the same. That's how it is. I assume that Rabbi Reifman, who was the first one to daven Chaim Berlin, they lived in Crown Heights. They were affiliated with Chabad. They were in the same neighborhood, and someone taught them the Chabad Nusach. No,
Chabad does Ashkenaz avodah.
They do probably Atokonanta. No, they do Atokonanta Chabad and Ashkenaz. They do the Nusach Ashkenaz, but that's not that's not Nigani. That's not the part.
The only thing really that you hear is about Kohanim.
That part, all of those things. I spoke to two. I heard it twice.
They were in the Sorbonne together.
Okay, whatever it is, those are the, so therefore there are certain, as someone pointed out to me, explained to me the different nuschois, then there's Hasidish nuschois. All of the Hasidim, they have also a certain theme. There are variations. Someone pointed out to me, explained to me, showed me the different nuschois, if you notice, this certain nusach, the approach is a davening of love, ahava. And this nusach is a nusach of yira. And it's amazing. It's so true. The Torah V'das Nusach, which is really what they daven in Lakewood, is a Nusach of Ahava. The whole Sprach is of love. It's a different approach.
No, that's, in Lakewood, it's not in the yeshiva.
In the yeshivas.
No. In Lakewood, you have the main. The main one is not.
No, I think it was
that's a strictly Litvische Nusach, which is.
Okay, whatever it is.
Shustel. It would be this. No, Rav Shustel doesn't have an in the name.
Shustel is a Torah V'das Nusach. Shustel, yes. I have the tape.
I know. My son-in-law, that was in that. That minion, the singing in
the main base medrash, the different Nusach?
No singing.
No singing. But even the Nusach. Forget about the singing.
What I'm saying is, the Nusach in Lakewood itself, in the main base medrash, would probably be the same as the one in Hebron.
Okay, all right. So that's a Nusach of Yira. It's a different approach to davening. Is it approach when you come to shul this pachad aim of Yira, or are you coming to shul with an approach of Ahava? Chassidim, their Nuschois focus on coming to Hashem with Ahava. The Litvaks, they come to Hashem with an approach of Yira. Lubavitch, even Lubavitch is the exception, because the Lubavitch in Nusach is an approach of Yira. It's a different Sprach. So it's very interesting. When it comes to Hashem's name, obviously the Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he was a Litvak. The ultimate Chassid was the ultimate Litvak. He's saying over here, if you say Hashem's name, and you sing Hashem's name entertainment, Nidui! You have to put this person in Shamta. He quotes here on the bottom over here, the source is, someone who sings the Kaddish, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah, and you sing it, it's a Chet Godol. Because it's a different approach. It's a different approach. Obviously, today, we don't go with that approach.
So
today,
that would indicate in his time already people were singing. So
No. The bottom over here is much modern times.
Modern times.
Is 50 years ago. 50 is quoting over here from 200 years ago. Rabbi Yehuda HaChas was 800 years ago. 800 years ago. On the bottom he's quoting things from 200 years ago at most. Times have changed. And certainly in today's day and age, things have changed even more. Okay, so this is just something to keep in mind. Just that's why Sefer Chassidut opens up your mind to different issues. Doesn't it's not concrete halacha. It is not halacha. It's more musar. It's more chumras. But you have to know where to draw the line. In chumras, there are areas where you have to know where not to cross. Now, next thing to point out, and this is something which many people today are much more careful with, and that is to sing the ksuba in the nigun of Shir Hashirim. Okay, there is a minhag amongst certain groups of people, that under the chuppah, in order to spice things up, it shouldn't be cut and dry. When you get up to sing when they recite the ksuba, you have someone to say the ksuba. So there are communities where they sing the ksuba.
By Ginsburg.
By over here, Shiva Flapish. Maybe other people did it. it became common, became very popular. They sing the nos the ksuba in the same nigud as shir hashir. Shir hashirim asher l'shloimoi. try to figure out and there are people that are enamored. The only reason why they'll go to a wedding, when you go to a wedding, I'm only going to go to the wedding if I know who gets the ksuba. If there's going to be a chazan that's going to sing the ksuba in nigun ashir hashirim, I'll travel to the end of the world to go to the chazan. If not, I'm not going to the chazan. Ad kedei kach. So this was popular for a time period, and many people have made a very big macha that you're not allowed to do it. That it's aser. Why is it aser? You can't say it's aser. There's no chapter and verse to say it's aser. It really is borders on what it says here in Sefer Chassidim. What it says here in Sefer Chassidim, what it says over here in Sefer Chassidim is that Hashem's name is holy. And when Hashem's name is holy, you don't sing Hashem's name. The converse is true as well. The nigun of Shir Hashirim is holy. Shir Hashirim, Chazal say, Kol Hashirois Kodesh. The Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kodashim. So to take the nigun of Shir Hashirim and to use it for a bland document, a document that says, in case of death or divorce, it's a contract. There's very little sanctity in a ksuba. I don't mean like that. There is sanctity in a ksuba. Ksuba is holy. Okay? Ksuba is mechazek the wedding. It reinforces the marriage to guarantee shelo yehe kala be'enav lehoitzia. It's wife insurance. You know what wife insurance is? They have a big sign on the buses. They go on the bus. It's all the jewelry stores. All the jewelry stores, they advertise, buy your wife. Wife insurance. My wife, what's wife? You buy jewelry for your wife. Everything is smoothed out. Smooth out. Wife insurance. So Chazal knew about wife insurance, and what did they institute? Not to buy a necklace or earrings or diamonds. It's a ksuba. If a man gets angry at his wife, dinner is burnt, he says, wife, here's your get. Here's your divorce document. Now when Chazal instituted a ksuba, after you give the get, you have to pay out $60,000-$70,000. What?
He says ailing. He doesn't have.
It doesn't matter. He owes it. He has to $70,000. That's what it costs. $70,000. So realize, if you give your wife a divorce, with the divorce is a check of $70,000. The husband says, I'll eat the burnt soup. It's okay. It's not worth $70,000 to divorce my wife. Wife insurance. That is sacred. That is sacred.
No, but the husband says I won't burn the soup anymore.
The wife says.
Rabbi Tendla used to tell us what it means. He said, you know what? She put two steaks on the grill. And she one burned, he says, your steak burned. Oh. Baruch Hashem, mine is okay.
Therefore, Chazal have instituted a ksuba. The ksuba is a holy document, but the text of the ksuba is mundane. To take a mundane document that discusses, in case of death or divorce, I owe you a lot of money, and to sing it in the same nigun that we sing the song that is Kodesh Kodashim, is not proper. It's not proper. It's an abuse of sanctity. And today, a lot of people are much more sensitive to this, and they stopped. It's not done anymore. It's the same idea as what it says here in this topic. All right? He touched upon, I thought we would do so much more. There's a lot of very geschmack alumnus on Techocha, but we're out of time. So Yirtza Hashem will pick up on Monday the sugya of Techocha from the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and try to embellish it with some modern day Piskei Halacha of how not to give Teichacha.